famous Phil Hendry Show.
We had a difficult, dark night in this country.
Thinking about my kids. Sorry. In school.
I think the public option's the best way. But I think passing something that protects consumers.
What I think is going on here is that the White House is listening to the right wing's
Diablo.
You son of a bitch.
And it's the world famous Phil Hendry Show every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. This is the show where truth is our bitch, and that takes us some pretty interesting spots. I can tell you that right now, because on this program, we call ourselves free thinkers. That seems to be the tag that most people identify with. A free thinker is someone who's not an independent. You're not an independent. No, an independent is a conservative who is disgusted with the Republican Party. That's basically an independent. There are no liberal independents. If there are, there's very few of them. So we like to think of ourselves as free thinkers, and maybe that's not the most descriptive thing, but it's going to have to do because I don't know what else to say. You know, I mean, I'm taking this stuff one issue at a time. And if we sound like we're liberals one minute and conservatives the next minute, I guess people who don't get it are going to have to just go with the flow, because this is where the country's headed right now. We're not doing something that's an aberration. This is where the country's going. The country is heading in this direction. The country is going to be shedding its identification with liberals and conservatives. It's going to be shedding its identification with progressives and with Republicans. It's going to be shedding its identification with political factionalism and partisanism, as it was once called. It is going to be heading in an entirely new direction. What was once a purely liberal stance may be embraced by conservatives. What was once a purely conservative stance may be embraced by liberals. And who knows, maybe whole new political parties will be born as we continue to redefine all of this stuff. Not because we just feel like it, but because it's necessary. People are too confused, and we see the country getting bogged down in discussions and debates and finger-pointing and caterwauling and bleeding like sheep over issues that we simply don't have to get involved with, right? I'll give you an example. Today, Nancy Pelosi came out of the White House after, I can assure you, getting her ass ripped by Obama, her and Reid, and she said what she shouldn't have said. She said, the president believes, and the president believes, and the president believes. Now, I don't know whether Obama told her to go out there and say that, but I'm telling you, that's not the way to approach this topic of health care, continually raising Obama's name as if all you are is a messenger girl, as if all you are is an office clerk. You have to present this as something you believe in. Why do you believe in it? Sell it to the constituents. The president told you, in no uncertain terms, I'm sure, Madam Speaker, to get your ass and your head wired together on this thing and get out there and start to sell it in a way that people are going to want to buy it. And going out there and saying, you know, the president feels and the president feels, that's what Boxer did 2 months ago. That ain't helping nobody, man. Nobody wants to hear that. I mean, a lot of people like Obama. I like Obama. I'm just saying, how do you pitch this thing so it makes sense to people so they understand what it is? You don't go out there and say, here's what President Obama believes, and President Obama, and President Obama. What you got to do is say, here's why this is a good idea. All right, anyway, we'll get into that. Don't worry about it, man. Our show tonight, as usual, can be contacted by going to the telephone and dialing 877-876-PHIL. That's our phone number, 877-876-PHIL. And you can also look us up on Twitter. And we haven't been on Twitter or Facebook in a long time, but we'll be back. We had a very, very hectic week last week trying to get the studio reorganized here. We were rewiring and rerouting and rebuilding, and we still have things that aren't working right. So we sort of took a little bit of a vacation away from all of those social networking sites and all of those groovy things that we were doing. But we'll be back on it. Now, coming up, Van Jones has resigned. As you know, Rance predicted that, and we dutifully re-reported what Rance predicted, and he was right. Van Jones resigned. What basically that means is he got fired. And Nancy Pelosi calls the public option essential to passing a bill, and a safe sex ad featuring Hitler has angered some. I think it's in Germany. And we'll get to that when we get to that, okay? I don't know whether it's that big of a deal or whether just the Germans are upset because, they do have certain feelings about Adolf Hitler. The first story I wanted to get to, just so we can get it out of the way here tonight, is the story of Obama talking to the students. You remember how this was going to become the, I don't know, it was going to be some sort of Orwellian brainwashing experiment that bordered on the macabre and the ghoulish. And he gave this speech, and it was cool. And, of course, today the spin is the following. Well, they saw the public outrage, and they decided to, well, you know, the public outrage on what? Because they had a lesson plan, and in the lesson plan it said, how can you help President Obama? And they thought that that had something to do with a speech he was going to get. It never had anything to do with either one. It simply was a stupid one in a series of stupid memoranda coming out of the White House, out of the cabinet. In this instance, I guess the Department of Education, in other instances, the Department of Homeland Security, just badly worded, leaked, not vetted, not thoroughly rewritten, not reviewed, not corrected, not spell-checked. Then they just send it sailing on out there, and then people read this stuff, and everybody starts, you know, they're riding their wigs off out there, man. All those permanents are getting wielded. All right, so Obama did give the speech, and it was exactly what he said it would be. It would be about, you know, motivating the kids to stay in school and study hard, and nothing happened that was all that terrible, although I'm sure this lady is still probably, you know, probably a little bit worried.
Thinking about my kids.
Yeah. In any event, it was the president reporting from Washington, or speaking from Washington. He urged school kids to rise above their mistakes and challenges to succeed in school, offering himself to students in suburban Washington, D.C. and around the nation as an example of a goofball who went on to make good. And I think that that's, I always feel that that's a good way to go, except anytime I've ever spoken to kids, and I have been invited on the very, very rare occasion to speak to kids.
You're kidding.
No, what's wrong with that?
What are you going to talk to them about?
Yeah, what are you telling them about? Like how to, you know, be a disc jockey and stuff? No, man. Sometimes I've been asked to talk about the radio business, and I always try to keep it to the basics. I never try to talk about where I screwed up, because if I tell them where I screwed up, then the kids go, hey, look, that guy screwed up, and he still made it in the radio business, so I can screw up, and I'll still have time to make it in the radio business. So I never like to really talk about that stuff. However, that's just that's a difference in style, I understand. In any event, here is President Obama as he tells students to take responsibility and to get their asses in there and start studying hard because, you know.
At the end of the day, we can have the most dedicated teachers, the most supportive parents, the best schools in the world, and none of it will make a difference. None of it will matter unless all of you fulfill your responsibilities. Unless you show up to those schools, unless you pay attention to those teachers, unless you listen to your parents and grandparents and other adults and put in the hard work it takes to succeed.
All right. So then the president said that students, they shouldn't let anybody, you know, they should not. What does it say? I can't read it.
What's your contribution going to be?
That's it.
What problems are you going to solve? What discoveries will you make?
There you go.
What will a president who comes here in 20 or 50 or 100 years say about what all of you did for this country? Now, your families, your teachers, and I are doing everything we can to make sure you have the education you need to answer these questions. I'm working hard to fix up your classrooms and get you the books and the equipment and the computers you need to learn. But you've got to do your part, too. So I expect all of you to get serious this year.
Right on.
I expect you to put your best effort.
That's right.
Into everything you do.
That's right.
I expect great things from each of you. So don't let us down. Don't let your family down or your country down. Most of all, don't let yourself down. Make us all proud.
And then he threw in,
I admit it, I'm a pervert. I came here to take pictures of your daughter.
Because that's what people expected, but he didn't. He it actually was going to throw that in, and then they edited it at the last. Well, you know how it goes.
What is controversial about it? Shouldn't the president be encouraging people? The students are our future. The youth, we are the America's future. In China and other places, they encourage their students to work hard in math and science, and they excel. And maybe that's why we're being surpassed by other countries, because people aren't taking the time to speak to the youth. So this is nothing but positive encouragement. Encouragement, in my opinion.
Now, here is Laura Bush, the former first lady of our country, and she was very, I think, kind toward the president. She also said he's the president. Have a little bit of respect.
I think that there is a place for the president of the United States to talk to school children and encourage school children. And I think there are a lot of people that should do the same, and that is encourage their own children to stay in school and to study hard and to try to achieve the dreams that they have. But I think really what people were unhappy about were the guidelines that went out with the with the before the speech went out, and I think those have been changed. And I think it's also really important for everyone to respect the President of the United States.
Exactly. Have a little bit of respect. And she said that those guidelines freaked some people out. I don't know that it needed to go to the extent that it did. You know, I think that when people start bawling like babies, like they're standing there in the street, like they just saw their kid get run over by a truck, like this lady.
Thinking about my kids.
You know.
Sorry. In school. Having to listen to that.
Oh, come on. I think that's a little much. So he gave the speech. It was a good speech. Presidents give speeches to school kids. And the outcry last week was beyond the pale. It made me sick to my stomach listening. And not only that, you school districts that decided not to allow the kids, you ought to be ashamed of yourselves. You ought to get out of the education business. The parents that were with all of that bull crap about how I'd like to sit with my children and make sure. Oh, when's the last time you sat with your kids doing anything? Now, all of a sudden, you got to sit down with the kids and listen to the president's speech. Meanwhile, who knows, God knows, what is being piped through your home on any given moment, in any given day, in any given hour, into the internet or across the, you know, pay-per-view. I don't know. I mean, I go upstairs. Nobody stops me from watching the stuff I want to. I wish they had, because now all I do is look at filth.
Yeah.
All right, our number, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. So get a life, get a grip, because coming up next is Pelosi and Harry Reid, and they're going to be talking about how they got their asses kicked by Obama today and what they're going to try to do to get the public health plan. And that would be not only the public health plan, but the other two tracks to this thing, which is the public health exchange, as well as the making sure everybody understands they have their private insurance option. How do we get all of this stuff going so that we don't spend as much money on health care, so that there is a little bit of competition to try to maybe drive the prices of health insurance down? What's going on with this, man? Is this thing actually going to get passed, or is it DOA? All of that coming up on a world-famous Phil Hendry Show tonight, 877-876-PHIL. And don't forget, we are streaming live video online right now as we speak on our website, philhendryshow.com. You can look at a video cast of the show, and you can hear an audio cast of the show, and you can hear downloadable audio tomorrow of the show on demand at philhendryshow.com.
Our bitch, the Phil Hendry Show.
It does.
Yeah, it just kind of, you know, kind of knocks me for a loop.
Yeah, but fine. A lot of time to do that to me too.
Yeah, you have a 3-day weekend, just sort of, you know, kind of throw off a biorhythm or something.
I don't know. It doesn't bother me. I mean, here we are. We're working, so let's not use that as an excuse, huh?
No, I'm not using an excuse. You just kind of, you know, the biorhythm and everything about it.
What do you mean biorhythms, man? What is that?
You ain't never heard about biorhythm.
Yeah, you never heard of the biorhythm?
Biorhythms is horse dung. It's horse dung.
No, it's not. They had a whole book about it and everything.
Biorhythms is horse dung. You mean you're telling me that there's certain, you know, things? I don't know. What is that?
Yeah, they'll tell you about, like, if you get up, you know, like maybe your bowels will be loose on one day.
Yeah, like if you don't go to the bathroom right or something.
What does that got to do with biorhythms, man?
That's your biorhythm.
That ain't your biorhythm. That means you ate something bad. I don't buy it, okay? Let me get to this story here. This really pisses me off. No, it doesn't really piss me off. It's just, I don't know what to say about this. It's the same thing from last week. Not last week. What am I saying? From like 3 years ago, last week. I guess maybe it's staying with me like it was last week. You remember when they had those Muhammad cartoons and they wouldn't publish them because they were afraid that a bunch of guys would burn down buildings and riot, which they did do in the Middle East, because that's what they do in the Middle East. And they were afraid that that would happen, so they didn't want to publish the Muhammad cartoons, right? Here in America, they published a few. They were originally in a Dutch newspaper, and that prompted some violence. The Dutch, I got to hand it to the Dutch. I love the Dutch. I love the Dutch. I don't know anything about them. I don't even know, I can't even probably, and I'm pretty good with geography. I don't think I could actually find Holland or the Netherlands on a map, but I like the Dutch. Do you know that every year they have a commemoration in the Netherlands for American soldiers that liberated a certain town? They have this big commemoration. They never miss it. Every year they remember the liberation of their town and their country by the Allies in World War II in the Netherlands. And if you talk to American soldiers that were in the Netherlands during World War II, they'll tell you the people were very gracious. They were very friendly. They greeted us with open arms. They were just the nicest people. And on top of that, weed is legal there, so you can smoke dope in Amsterdam. And on top of that, they made that movie about Islam, and that poor guy was murdered, that Van Gogh, one of the Van Gogh, and, you know, one of the relatives of Vincent Van Gogh. This guy was a filmmaker. Forgive me, I forget his first name, but this guy was shot to death. A filmmaker making a film about Islam that the Hollywood community, that being a filmmaking community, responded to with overwhelming outrage, not. And then they come up with the Muhammad cartoons because, you know, they like a laugh as much as anybody, probably more, and they're taking all the heat over there. So they came up with these cartoons. They got pissed off some of the Muslim community. And now there's been a reprint of these in a book called Cartoons That Shook the World. But guess what? No, they haven't been reprinted because Yale University, the press that is publishing this, decided to take the Muhammad cartoons out because they were afraid that there would be more violence. What's happening is this. Freedom of the press, courageous reporting, is now being put to the side, and the excuse being given isn't that they don't have any guts. The excuse is not that today's journalist is essentially gutless. The excuse given is the following. Well, we don't want to offend anybody. Well, I mean, news is news. It's going to either offend or it won't offend, or maybe nobody will even notice that it's news, or it'll partially offend, or it'll clarify some things. It's news. That's what objective reporting is. Hello, this is news. We will report it. And if people get pissed off that you reported it, that's the, you know, killing the messenger for the message. That's exactly what freedom of the press stands against. That's what it represents. It represents standing against that kind of thing. We will report. What is it? We report, you decide? Isn't that what they say?
Yeah, that's Fox. I think it's Fox.
I don't know who it is. No, I think it's CNN. I think Fox is fair and balanced, and We Report, You Decide is some other jackass. All right, number is 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to a phone call here. It is Brian in Cincinnati. Brian, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. And what can we do for you tonight?
Hey there. I just wanted to, you know, let you know that I think you're great, and I love your no BS attitude.
Well, thank you very much.
I'm an avid listener. I'm a 24-year-old kid just rocking this world out and loving your show. I just wanted to comment on this ridiculous, overdramatic, insanity over this Obama gave a speech one time thing. It's truly embarrassing to me to watch the media frenzy go after what's the next topic that they'll focus on for 3 days and then never touch back on or remember. It's like this, you know, the same way, you know, O.J. Simpson, what's going on with him right now? Well, no one cares because that's not the news right now. But, you know, a few months back, whenever his latest scandal was going on, you know, news companies won't leave that alone. But guess what? It doesn't matter now. And that's the same as this Obama thing and the same as, you know, every new news thing will be. And it's just...
Well, yeah, but what one other thing to consider, Brian, is now what they're doing, because the news reporting companies, those who are involved in reporting the news, they're in a battle now to survive, because the internet and other technologies and other ways of delivering information are competing and encroaching on their business. So now they're inventing things. For instance, did you know that it was a big controversy that Michelle Obama wore shorts to the Grand Canyon? Well, no, it wasn't. But NBC tried to make it one. MSNBC tried to make it one. The LA Times tried to make it one. And I think that some other clown tried to make it one. They really tried to pretend like people were upset that she wore shorts. And it didn't take. No one cared. And it was the most brazen and obvious attempt to create a story out of nothing that I'd ever seen in my life. So keep that in mind, too, my young brother, as you traverse this world. Thank you for your call. Here is Suzanne in Phoenix. Suzanne, what's on your mind tonight?
Al, first of all, I'd like to tell you really rock. I really love your attitude. It's straight and to the point. One of the points I wanted to make, and it's really irritating that there's so many individuals that had such a tough time with having their kids watch the president or listen to our president give them a pep talk on education. This mm-hmm. is the same individual we all voted in as a president, and yet we're not going to trust what he's telling our kids.
Right,
how
right. Ludicrous, very good point.
How ludicrous is that? And the other point I wanted to make is I can remember back when the space shuttle, when there was that accident where there was a teacher on board. They aired that in our schools for our kids to watch. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are things far much more of an impact on our kids than the president of our country, the man that we voted in, should respect as our president. Telling our kids to stay in school and have it get an education.
It's a good point. I mean, people forget that. They forget, you know, didn't we elect this guy? I think we did. I think we did. Thank you. Good point about the Challenger and all those space shuttles. The Phil Hendry Show will be back. All those space shuttles. What am I saying?
Phil,
all those space shuttles. There's a couple of them. Well, there were two of them, yeah, that blew up. Sorry.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about and a news talk and entertainment show that loves being a news talk and entertainment show because we don't have to adhere to or follow along with or make sure we've subscribed to the latest party line, you know, given the progressive or the conservative point of view or the Republican or the Democratic point of view, we don't care. We don't care. We don't care. What we say around here is when the stars come out, the bull crap ends. How about that?
When the stars come out, the bull crap ends. That's yeah.
Thank you, bud. You can put that on a... Get out of here, will you? Go put it up on a marquee outside.
Yeah.
Yeah, once we get a marquee, you can put it up outside. All right, anyway, 877-876 is the number here on the Phil Hendry Show, and we started telling you about this this latest having to do with the Muhammad cartoons. The reason why I got crazy about this originally, when this happened back in 06, 05, 06, somewhere around there, was because I didn't understand what was happening to the journalistic ethic in this country. You know, now, I'm a talk show host. I'm an entertainer, primarily, but I do engage in a kind of news reporting. So if something happens, I tell you about it. I don't want to not tell you about it. Do I comment on it? Yes, of course I do. But I have to tell you first what's going on. And that's what we do. And if you are a journalist, if you're an actual news reporter, that is somebody not engaged with commenting on the news, but simply reporting it, well, your job is even more, straightforward. All you have to do is report the news. Now, what happened in 05, 06 when the Muhammad cartoons came out in the Netherlands as a result of the Dutch newspaper doing I believe it was a competition among its editorial cartoonists, to come up with humorous cartoons having to do with the Islamic faith or Muhammad, was that there was a great deal of outrage in the Middle East particularly and among some very fundamentalist types in the Muslim community about these cartoons. They didn't like it. Religion doesn't tend to have a sense of humor about itself. It never has. It probably never will. We know this from our own experience in our own society, being a free society and a freewheeling society, a democratic society like America, where freedom of speech has long been taken for granted, and we comment on all manner of religious topics in our society. And that just doesn't hang us up. We just do it, you know. And people who are religious, Christian or Jewish, primarily, get it. And they just go about the business of being religious, and they try not to let any of that stuff get in their way. And that's kind of how we all coexist. But in the Islamic community, in places other than the United States, and I don't really want to attribute this anger to Muslims here in the United States because they're Americans. And Muslim Americans are Americans first and foremost. So they get the idea of this free exchange of ideas. They understand what satire is and that it visits all of us sooner or later. You know, satire is kind of like, I don't know, who it's like the Sandman or the Tooth Fairy. Satire visits us all eventually, you know.
Yeah, it doesn't leave a quarter under your pillow or anything either.
Very good point, bud. And it doesn't leave a quarter under your pillow. Although the Tooth Fairy can't be just leaving quarters these days.
Well, it kind of,
yeah, you know, because on account of the inflation.
I don't want to talk about the Tooth Fairy right now, thank you. However, in parts of the world where this is not a tradition, that is the free exchange of ideas, when you come out with a cartoon that makes fun of Muhammad, they get crazy to the point of violent. And I suppose that's what they do, and they can do that if they want. But in America, I always thought that regardless of the threat, regardless of the totalitarian and dictatorial sentiment that might keep us from publishing our thoughts and our feelings and our musings about certain things, we go ahead and do it anyway. Well, apparently we don't do that anymore because the Muhammad cartoon has inspired such violent reaction that places like the Yale University Press and the New York Times and the LA Times and NBC and every major news gathering and news disseminating organization in America, they don't want to publish these photographs for fear that it will inspire violence. And what is the excuse? The excuse is we want to be sensitive to the feelings of people. No, the excuse is you guys don't have any guts. You lost your balls a long time ago. We know this for a fact. We know this for a fact. When all of that tiptoeing around the obvious took place following 9/11, when all of that second-guessing about whether we should react this way or whether we ought to react that way or maybe we shouldn't just rush to judgment and maybe there are reasons, and the whole post-Vietnam era of this kind of tiptoe journalism, this touchy-feely journalism, kicked in full bore with the Muhammad cartoons. And suddenly, organizations that were very happy to receive Pulitzer Prizes and slap themselves on their own backs and pat their own asses about how courageous they are, about what fantastically courageous journalists they are, they don't want to publish the Muhammad cartoons because it will inspire violence. Now, when do you make the decision that regardless of what the response may be, we're going to print what is true and what is newsworthy? We're going to print the truth because it happens to be news as well. The truth comes in many shapes and sizes, but the truth as it pertains to, for instance, newspapers and cable news outlets, happens to be news. So this is news, you know. I mean, I can tell you the truth is, you know, I used to weigh 260 pounds. Is that newsworthy? Not really. Maybe the truth is, Bill Clinton suffers from sexual dysfunction. Is that newsworthy? Not yet.
Well.
Not yet. Something happens, we'll find out about it, I guess. But what's the news? Well, the news is these Muhammad cartoons are satirical references to the Prophet Muhammad, and it is part of a free exchange of ideas and opinions and commentary, and it is satirical, and it is a parody, and these marvelous things. And so that's what we do here in the West. But we are frightened to death now of being attacked, of being the recipients of violence when we express an opinion. We have ceased to be a free society if that takes place. We've ceased to practice journalism if that takes place. We have ceased to have so-called a free press if that takes place. There's no freedom of speech. There's no freedom of the press. There's nothing. And they cover it up by saying, well, we want to be sensitive to people. Now, the Yale University Press, which came out with a book, Cartoons That Shook the World, well, I guess they shook the world a little too much because when this book came out with the Muhammad cartoons, they edited these out. They took them out. Islamic law generally opposes any depiction of the Prophet, even favorable, for fear it could lead to idolatry. Oh, is that right? This is according to Fox News. Well, I don't know whether that's actually the facts, especially since I read Fox News telling me this. It could very well be that some interpretation of Islamic law is such. There is a repeated pattern of violence when these cartoons have been republished. University Vice President and Secretary Linda Lorimer told the Yale Daily News in August, the homework for us here this summer was to ask people in positions who could give expert counsel whether there is still an appreciable chance of violence from publishing the cartoons. The university said it consulted counterterrorism officials, Muslim diplomats, the top Muslim official at the United Nations, and other mostly unidentified experts in making its decision. Those experts said they had, quote, serious concerns about violence occurring following publication of either the cartoons or other images of the Prophet Muhammad in a book about the cartoons, according to University President Richard Levin. Did they happen to take a look at the Constitution of the United States of America, which was written following a period of time in the history of the human race when people were attacked violently for their points of view, when people were killed for expressing an opinion that was controversial, where people did have their businesses burned, had their newspapers burned, had their little newsstands burned down, their homes burned down, attacked in the street, beaten, killed even, because they dared to express an opinion that was contrary to the prevailing dictum of the day, right? And when I say dictum, I think you know what I mean.
Yeah, like,
don't say it. That's exactly what freedom of speech is, you jackasses. So you turn around and you kowtow to this totalitarianism of thought, and you decide you won't publish the Muhammad cartoons. If the Muhammad cartoons aren't published in the United States, where in the hell are they going to be published? Ever. Ever. If they can't be published in the United States of America with a Bill of Rights, with a Constitution, with a long-standing tradition of allowing satirists, humorists, political commentators, comedians, writers, artists, painters, broadcasters, you name it, a long-standing tradition of this freedom of thought and idea that has invigorated our country since the beginning. If you can't publish the Muhammad cartoons here because you're afraid of violence, in other words, you are respecting the wishes of a lynch mob. And I'll use the word lynch mob. Lynch mob! You're respecting the wishes of the mob. And you say, I'm not going to publish the cartoons because I don't have the guts. Because I'm not a journalist. I'm not a real journalist. I don't mind going after George Bush and 9/11 and the Iraq War, because that's going to get me. That's going to get people buying me drinks when I knock off from work at 5 o'clock and I go down to the favorite bar where we all hang out and impress each other with how daring we are in the way we report the news and the way we go after the story. I mean, I don't mind going after Obama and calling him a socialist and a Marxist-Leninist and all these things. That's what I do. That's what wins me the Pulitzer. That's what gets me kudos from my fellows. That's what makes me such an important guy. But when it comes to really reporting something, something that may put my life at risk, you know, folks, even in this country, there was a time when reporters were killed for the things that they wrote. They were threatened for the things that they wrote. They were stalked. And they were the victims of random violence for the things that they wrote and that they reported on. Courageous men and women. Courageous men and women. Our country is replete with the history of individuals all alone, nobody standing with them at all, breaking out and saying, this needs to be said, and putting their lives at risk, putting their careers at risk. Sometimes they went to their deaths having been defamed for the things they did, and it was only after death that they were rehabilitated and we recognized that what they contributed was very valuable. I mean, this has been the history of the great journalists, not only of America, but of the world. Do we have any of them today? I'm telling you right now, man. If I had the Ringling Brothers tarp here, man, covering the earth, I couldn't throw a tarp over a one of them. There aren't any reporters left. There's just a lot of guys sitting around, you know, looking at themselves in a mirror and blowing kisses at themselves. That's it. And you call yourself a press, the Yale University Press? You're not a press. You're just playing at it. You're just a bunch of you're people that are you're playing reporter, you know. It's like playing dress-up. You have books, and you have a press, and I'm sure you've got a really interesting logo, and you have, a newspaper, and you have a newsletter, and I'm sure you've circulated petitions, and you demand this, and you demand that, all in the name of free speech. I got something to challenge you with right now, Yale University Press, and all you other punks out there, who claim to be reporters, go ahead and publish these cartoons. Grow a pair just once. Just once. For one day, pretend like you've got a pair. And go ahead and publish these cartoons, maybe with an essay alongside of them explaining why you've done it. And I will stand with you. Other Americans will stand with you. We will all stand together and say, in our country, this is what we do. But I don't know if there's anybody out there with the balls to do that. They sure haven't got it at the Yale University Press. They haven't got it any newspaper in America. Just a bunch of punk faces who are playing at being reporters. I don't think we've got a reporter in this country. I think we've got a lot of people with opinions. I think we have all kinds of op-ed kinds of jackasses, all kinds of commentators. That's what I do. But then I admit it to you, man. I don't call myself a journalist, per se. I'm just here to tell you that whatever it was that motivated the Free Press of America, it's dead. I mean, it's got to be dead when we have a Bill of Rights protecting the free with a stick of dynamite in his turban because they're afraid some jackball is going to start a riot. Well, what would you do, Henry? Would you? Yes, you're damn right I would. In fact, I put him on my website, and I had the company I was working for pull him off my website. I raised holy hell, and I got this phony baloney excuse. Well, we're afraid for your safety, Phil. My ass, they never cared one whit about my safety. They're worried about their public image. They're standing in the community, and the possibility that it's going to redound negatively on their marvelous corporate kissers. All right, all right, I got that off my... All right, we'll take some phone calls. I tell you what we'll do is we'll take phone calls. We have Nancy Pelosi. She came out of the White House rubbing her ass. And I mean after getting a spanking, not anything more than that.
Are you sure?
No, I'm not sure. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-PHIL. Back with more here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Go to philhenryshow.com. You can see live streaming video of our show every night. We stream video as well as audio. And tomorrow, of course, our audio on demand available to you. But we do have a video cast going every night. And about a half, well, tonight we didn't get going until about 30 minutes before the show. But usually an hour to a half hour before the show, we have an uncensored video cast where we really lay into people. So you can't miss that one. 877-876-PHIL is our number. Let's go to a phone call. We have Jeremy in San Antonio. Jeremy, what's going on tonight?
How's it going, Phil? I just wanted to touch on one or two things real quick. I completely agree with you. I completely agree that the freedom of press is being tried, and even beyond that, it goes to the freedom of speech. If I'm not allowed to talk about whatever I think, you know, what is that freedom therein? You know, it makes me completely think different about America and being able to talk out, because as you said, things were once this way when we were being tortured and not able to make up our own decisions or think what we wanted to. So I really think that that especially with like Sharia law and what it's doing in Europe right now, if that comes to America, you know, that's just something
else. What is it? What did you just mention? The what?
Sharia law.
Oh, Sharia law. Islamic Sharia law. Yeah, yeah. The fundamentalist wing of the Islamic religion.
They're pushing into Europe right now, and actually Geert Wilder mentioned him earlier in Amsterdam with speaking
right
out against them and being, you know, completely just, it just blows my mind how we can talk about anything. You know, you have radio shows, you've got books, you can get on the internet, but as soon as you say something about, you know, Islam, uh-oh. So.
Yeah, well, I think, here's the thing, man, it's like, this is a test of the emergency broadcast. No, this is a test of our Constitution. It's a test of what do we mean when we say there's free speech. Now, we know that you can't yell fire in a crowded theater. We know there's limits to freedom of speech. If you walk down the street and you start yelling the N-word just at the top of your lungs, there is a expectation. First of all, there's a belief that you're being gratuitous, and there's an expectation that you're attempting to foment a violent response.
Right.
I think that is different from a legitimate commentary on the word, let's say the N-word. Let's say a white guy using the N-word. Maybe he could use it in an essay or even in a public performance where you and I could agree, well, that guy's making a point, and that is protected speech. If he's just standing there in front of a bunch of black folks and he's yelling N, you know, at all of these people, it becomes sort of a gratuitous assault. And so we've always had these challenges down through the history of this country. What's the difference between a gratuitous use of language that can lead to violence or lead to injury and what is a legitimate use of freedom of speech to comment? And a cartoon, you know, that is satirical in nature, and I've seen these cartoons. One that, for instance, one of them comments on the whole seven virgin thing. You know, it's very funny. I think they ran out of virgins or something. Another one with the stick of dynamite hidden inside the turban of Muhammad. These are all, I think, legitimate areas of comment. And even some Muslims would agree that they're legitimate. Not every Muslim disagrees with the publishing of these cartoons. You know,
right? And another point was the Sharia law. You know, it's one thing to be able to comment on a drawing or something newsworthy such as that, but as soon as you say, well, I don't agree with that law, or why is some people in my society allowed to do something while I'm not, you know, as soon as you bring that up, you can't even contest it. I think there was a bill that the UN had tried to pass about you know, being careful about what you said about...
That's not a bill. That's just an opinion that the UN... The UN has opinions. In the United States, we have laws. We have a separation of church and state. We'll talk a little bit more about this because it's a real favorite topic of mine. World-famous Phil Hendry Show, Nancy Pelosi, and Harry Reid.
Phil Hendry.
Came running out of the White House screaming.
Visit us online at talkradionetwork.com.